Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody blew up a building, somebody stole a car, somebody got away, somebody didn't get too far, yeah, they didn't get too far.
Grandpappy told my pappy back in my day, slum, a man has an answer for the wicked that he does. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street. For all the people to see.
That justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. We got too many gangsters doing dirty deeds.
Too much corruption and crime in the streets.
It's time the long arm of the law put a few more in the ground.
I'm all to their maker and he'll settle them down.
You can bet he'll set them down. Cause justice is the one thing he should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
And we'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, saying, whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. Draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
And we'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. Singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Smoke right here. Chris Chadwick in the house tonight, fired up, ready to talk barbecue, loving what I'm doing. And just got a lot of things going on tonight, big show planned out. This is my one-year anniversary right here with Barbecue Superstars on blogpopradio.com. I'm excited about that. This is my one-year anniversary. Big D, you on the line with us. What's going on tonight? Mr. Daryl Mast in the house.
Well, Chris, now, I knew your show was going to be a hit. I didn't have any doubt about it, but 13,000 listens on one show. Well, it's like this.
The Chris Chadwick, Let the Smoke Roll Show. 1 year anniversary. Hell yeah! Listens on one show.
So on the day I was born, the nurse was all
Chris Chadwick.
And they gazed in wide wonder at the joy.
He let the smoke roll.
The head nurse spoke up, said, leave this one alone. She could tell right away.
He let the smoke roll.
That I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Tennessee Barbecue Association.
I want to be yours, pretty baby.
Yeah.
Yours and yours alone. I'm here to say
let the smoke roll.
That I'm bad as a bone. Bad as a bone.
The Chris Chadwick Let the Smoke Roll is bad to the bone. Call in every Wednesday night. 1 year anniversary. Congratulations, Chris Chadwick, and a great big hell yeah!
For all you do, Chris, that was you. And from Barbecue Superstars family, thank you so much for everything you do. And hey, by the way, you might be bad to the bone.
Bad to the bone. All right, Big D. Brother, I sure appreciate it. Thank you for that. You know, it's been a pleasure being on here for a year. And, you know, what a way to do a year anniversary show following a few. Hell yeah. Following a big 13,000 listen show. I can't believe that. So I'm just excited about it. You know, I still can't believe it. And I'm proud to just be part of Barbecue Superstars, my friend.
Well, have a great show. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Big Dave. Appreciate it, brother. Thank you a lot. Man, that was a big surprise. A big surprise. Guys, welcome to the Chris Chapman Show. We are live in the house tonight. We've got a dynamite show scheduled out. We've got a lot of people supposed to call in this evening. Of course, the Q crew, guys from all over the country, calls in. We do have a special guest. We've got some Pitmaster stars in the house tonight. We expecting Danny Kugel to call in. We've got Danny online right now. We're going to cue him in. We've got a lot of excitement going on. Let's get Danny cued in and welcome him to the show. Danny, welcome to the show, brother. How you doing tonight?
Hell yeah. Happy
hell
anniversary.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. How's it going tonight?
It's going well. Well, it's nighttime for you. It's about 1 o'clock here in Hawaii.
Oh, me, it's lunchtime there. Well.
Hell yeah. I'm sitting here having me some juice. I'm looking at these birds. Fella just delivered over here for me some roosters, and cooked up some butts. Gonna have a little get together here at the restaurant. We should be open in about a week and a half.
That sounds really awesome. I know you've been working hard on that. People just don't realize what kind of hard work and dedication it takes. You know, I've just kind of been following you on Facebook. Looks like you've got one hell of an operation going on. I just wish you the very best with all that, man. It's got to be exciting. I know it's a lot of work, but it's got to be exciting.
Yeah, this one here was a lot of work. This was, I'm actually located. I started one with a couple of fellas up there in Pahoa. But after it was up and I was in there for a week and I was cooking, their idea of barbecue changed and they wanted to freeze everything and serve it out in portion control and this, that, and the other. And I was like,
right,
I'm not doing that. So I tell you what, right. I'll just let you all have this and I'll go on about my business. And that's what I did.
I hear you. And you can't serve barbecue like that.
You got to serve it fresh every day.
You got it. That's right. So you got another project going, you got another one going, and you about ready to fire it up. Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. I ran into a fellow that owns a lot of property in Maui and a lot of property here in Hawaii, and he had an empty building at this tourist destination down here on the Black Sand Beach by Uncle Robert's and the Kalapana Village Cafe, and there's about 200-300 tourists that come through here daily, and he said, you know, and I walked in, it was an empty building and it needed a new roof. So he had a bunch of roofing, we got the roofing, we put new roofing in, ran the electrical, ran the plumbing, got the damn 3-bay sink in there, went and rummaged around, found us some stainless steel tables, got the lighting working, got the electrical working, got it all working, got my inspection today. I need to put epoxy on the concrete floor and they want me to close up the ceiling. So that's what I got to do next. And we should be good.
Man, it sounds like you got it on the road. It's rolling. It's ready to open up. You know, I'm about to turn my place into a to-go barbecue pit myself right here in little old McKenzie, Tennessee. When it's in your blood, what can you do? You know, you just got to go with it.
I'm coming back. My goal is to come back and be back on the circuit there in the Southeast in 2014, hitting it every 2 weeks. So I got to get this thing up and running and making money where I can do that.
I hear you.
That's what I live for. I live to compete. I love hitting. I love competing. I love, getting out there and traveling and meeting people and talking to the – I love those backyarders. I love going in there and helping them out and teaching them some stuff and, bringing them up. And, as an ambassador of barbecue, you really need to get out there and help out the little guys, the guys that are just getting started, that want to get their feet wet, they got the fire in their belly. And they're really hungry to learn something from somebody that knows what they're doing. And, there's not a big deal. I love doing that.
Right, yeah. I agree with you 100% right there. I've always preached this and preached it. People don't realize until you go to a competition and feel that environment and feel that it's just old-fashioned. You got a lot of old-fashioned values there, and you got a lot of everybody's friends. Just pretty much everybody's on the same page. They're getting along. They're having a good time. They are there to compete, and they are all trying to win. They want to, like me and my buddies, we all go and we all want to whip each other's ass. But, if we don't get a call and they do, we're happy for them and we're ready to cheer them on. And, you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about, because that's what I'm all about. And I just love barbecue. Barbecue is bigger than any one of us. What's good for barbecue is good for me. And whatever I can do to promote competition barbecue as a whole, that's what I'm doing. And I do it every day, and I'm going to keep on doing it.
I hear you. It's just in our blood, and we can't do anything about it. That's just how I feel. I hadn't got to talk to you before. I'm so glad you're on the show. You're always welcome to call in anytime you have time. We do it every Wednesday night, and, it's just open mic. It's ever open. Every Wednesday night, it's open mic. We want everybody to call in and just have a great time. And I thank you for calling in. We're just going to have a good time tonight. We've got a couple of people that calling in tonight. We've got Cody from Lulu's. Cody's going to be in the house. We all know who Cody is.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
We got Cody calling in a little while. Lene's going to call in a little while. I've got several other guys. We usually have guys call in from Georgia, from Florida, from Colorado, Missouri. We got teams that call in from everywhere. We cooked at the same event one year, and I didn't really get to spend any time with you or really meet you a couple years ago at Tupelo, Mississippi.
Holy smoke, I remember Tupelo, Mississippi.
Yep, we were down there, and...
I got me a damn 180 in brisket in Tupelo, Mississippi.
You sure did. You had a big run in Tupelo that year.
Yes,
We was cheering you on. We was proud of you. You was right down, I call it Pit Alley. We was right down Pit Alley from us, and we just never got to, when you knew... And you don't know anybody. You don't know who to walk up to and who not to. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
We just didn't get to meet. But I know next time we get together somewhere close, we will be definitely in the same place. Like this past year, we cooked in Tupelo.
Let me ask you something, Chris. Have you gotten my barbecue school yet?
No, I haven't. I'm going to be honest. I've never done any of them, just to be honest with you.
I'll tell you, a lot of fellas have gotten that thing and have done extremely well with it. And I'm talking about, even Chris Lilly called me up and said he had my school.
Really? Okay.
I mean, I could go they like to stay anonymous. But, you know, I could go down the list of all the fellas that are out there cooking with my class, and I can tell you that there's it's going to be really interesting 2014, because I tell you what, there's a lot of people out there cooking with my class now. I don't know, probably about 75, 50 people bought the class that I was going for that 4th of July special I had.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, they're all cooking with it. They're all emailing me. They're all doing well. And I think that with a good couple of months under their belt, they come back out with some practice in 2014. You know, the big dogs are going to be hunting, and they go, and it's the newcomers that are going to be hunting out there.
I hear you. I know what you're saying.
It's one hell of a thing. You know, you go out to a contest and you meet one pit bull's up in smoke, but it's another when you go out there and half the damn deal is cooking damn pit bulls up in smoke.
There you go. That's right. That's exactly right. Well, you know, I'm a small team. We've competed for a few years, and we've got some good wins under our belt. And I do, you know, most of the stuff I do, I've got several sponsors now, and I'm going to have to give them a big shout out here in a minute. But I've got several sponsors that's coming on board helping me out, which is really, you know what I'm talking about, really a tremendous help. And this year in Tupelo, we had some good places, you know, considering last year. We went and we had good calling chicken this year, about a 171, was 18th place. And then we had a top 25 brisket, 25th place in brisket, with about a 169, 170 on brisket this year at Tupelo. And they had some ancillaries this year. We did fifth in one of the ancillaries and seventh in the other. So, you know, that was pretty good for a second time around at a big KCBS event. We just had a lot of fun. And we did a Friday Night Slot Live barbecue superstar show there, and I got about an hour and a half in, got to go around and have a good time. You know, that's what it's all about, having a good time. You go want to cook serious, but you have a good time, too. And here, that's just what we do. That's what we do here on the show. We just have a good time, and where it goes, we never know. The guy right next to me at Tupelo this year, we met him as soon as we started unloading. He came over and shook hands, and he said, "I'm just glad to meet you." And his name was Jeremy Moyers. You know who I'm talking about, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Well, I mean, we had a good time together. Old Jeremy, he calls in the show some, and we have a good time. And we just had a good cook, good visit, good fellowship. And it's just what it's all about. We just keep trying to preach that word, tell everybody what barbecue is, because there's a lot of people missing out, missing the boat, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, you know, one of the few times I really feel like I'm in America is when I'm at a barbecue contest. It's a beautiful thing. It's truly a wholesome place. It's a family environment, and it's good, and you know, and when you can share what you know with other people, a little secret, special way you cut your chicken, or you know, a special little sprinkle that you do on your brisket right at the very, very, very end that nobody even thought about, or you know, some kind of little something that you might do to the pork before you put it on the smoker, and when you inject it, you know, that special thing, or a little secret about your your fluids, you know, a special measurement of fluid that you use to try and get a consistent rib every time when you cook. You know, these little things that I don't have a problem at all giving away to backyarders or to somebody that's just coming in and getting started and wanting to do well. And, you know, and I do that from my heart. You know, it's I don't have to do it. And I tell you, nobody did it for me. But I do it because I just love doing it.
Right. I hear you. I understand completely. You know, that's what it's all about. We all have a passion. You know, and I love to compete too. And it's just, you know, they just don't understand what we're talking about, a lot of them, until they get out there and once they get bit, that smoke gets in their veins, they're hooked. And we're just going to keep competing, I guess, until
the big old fire gets put out, you know, and we're just going to keep rolling with it. That's the way, that's the way it goes.
That smoke going to keep on rolling.
Yeah, you got it. We're going to let the smoke roll and let it keep rolling until that fire gets put out. But it's you know, we could just talk about that all night. Man, I want to tell you how much we enjoyed watching you on Pitmasters the other night.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Really,
you know, it ended perfectly, too, you know. It was a perfect ending, you know, with Lene and her partner from Sugars.
Yeah.
Winning that, I mean, you had a female judge up there, one of the best in the nation. You had a good female team there competing. You know, what better way for it to end? You know what I mean? It would have been nice to win it, but I won't be honest with you. I just felt funny, you know, because to me, them winning that contest, I mean, being the winner on TV on that contest was, you know,
right.
Was more about barbecue, you know what I mean? It was I won my share of contests, you know, and you know, when I go to a KCBS contest, trust me on this, I don't care whether you're a woman or a man, I want to win it. But there it was
right.
Different because it was national, and you know, there's lots of little girls out there and young women out there that are in barbecue and they're watching and they want to see a woman win. And
that's right.
And they need to know that women can win in barbecue. Women can beat Danny Kugel at any contest, anytime, anywhere. You know what I mean?
That's right. I know.
You know, that's what it's all about. You know, they make great. They're going to make great role models for the young ladies coming up in barbecue. And
hopefully,
we'll see more women in barbecue because I think that more women in barbecue is going to be a good thing for barbecue.
Well, it's just going to open it up to a whole new level. You know,
I firmly believe
that.
I got news for you. Women are very meticulous, and they're very to the point on what they do, and they don't make mistakes like the guys do, and they don't sit around and get drunk all night like the guys do.
That's right.
They go there, and they're all about business.
You're right. You're exactly right. You hit it right on the head when you said that. You know, my daughter, she's 10 years old, and she loves to go cook with me. I mean, she's serious about it. She's in there, and she's cooking, and and she's prepping, doing a backyard, you know, backyards category. I mean, she's cutting it up. She's doing it. She's seeing it. She's working it, okay? And Melissa Cookston called her one evening and talked to her for a few minutes, and that just made her night. You know, that just lit her up because she just looks up to her. She likes her, and which I do, too. And Melissa might even be on the show here in just a little while. I got through talking to her just a little earlier, so she might come on the show tonight, too, for a little while. But
well, I tell you, Melissa Cookson is a very nice lady.
Yes.
It was a pleasure having her as a judge over there. And she's very personable. I mean, she's not one of those cooks. There's a lot of them out there that think they're too good to talk to you or too good to whatever. You know, and
right.
I've never met a stranger, so I don't care who you are or who you think you are. I'm going to make that. I'm going to come up and shake your hand and talk to you and lay it all out there with you, and you know, and she's the same way. I mean, she's a good honest woman, and she's got it. You know, she's easy to deal with. She's easy to talk to.
Right, right, and I'm the same way. I don't meet a stranger. You know, we just get in there and have a good time, and I'm all about positive, keeping it real, and keeping it moving forward. You know, and here on the show. You know, like I say, we're just a bunch of guys talking barbecue. We have a great time. We do it once a week. But we keep it real. We keep it positive and keep it moving forward. And, you know, she just, like my daughter, she'll go get on another phone and call into the show to talk. So she just loves it. She loves her, and she was excited when, you know, when they won and when she, you know, she was happy for her, you know, girl winning for the girl. You know what I'm saying? And they just had a big time. She Presley loves to do it. So, you know, next time you see me, you might see that she's probably going to be on my hip right beside me. She, you know, she's got her little apron and she rock and roll. She's serious about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, women in barbecue is going to be a good thing, and that's what that show is all about. It ended the right way, and I was satisfied that it ended the right way, and I was satisfied with what I did,
Yeah.
No doubt that what I did was professional, and it was, high-end barbecue.
It looked good.
It was championship barbecue. What I did was championship barbecue. You know, let me tell you something. They gave you 3 points, and I just could not bring myself to just turn in 4 burn-ins. Turn in 4 one-inch square pieces of meat from 4 friggin' points. I just couldn't do it. I'm a competitor. I'm a world class competitor. I'm not gonna do that. I had to turn in a damn KCBS box because 2 of those judges see them all the time. Melissa, she does a little KCBS from time to time, but
right.
I just need to do what I need to do for me.
I feel you. I know what you're saying. I mean, and that was a good looking box. You put the slices, the pulled, and the burnt ends in there. It looked good. It was a good looking box. I mean,
And it all tasted good, and it was all right too. You know, I was happy with my turning because at the end of the day, you can always look back and say I gave it all I got.
Right.
Or you can go back and say I should have done this and I should have done that. Well, I don't have that problem because I gave it all I had. You know what I mean?
Right, I do. I know what you're saying. You was happy with what you did, bar none, regardless of the outcome, you was satisfied. And that's what it takes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it takes, and big old turkey legs, them look good, too. I mean,
they were good.
I'd like to have one right now.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think I put more work into those turkey legs than I did into the brisket, quite frankly.
Right.
I took my time and I scraped that skin and got every one of them little feathers out of there. I made sure that everything was just right.
You know, you could tell how they looked. But you know what it's all about, and we'll bring this up a little bit. Chicken. You know what? The time it takes and how meticulous you have to be with chicken. I mean, that old turkey leg was just like a damn chicken leg, pardon my French. You know, it just takes so much time to work on that. I mean, that's one of the hardest toss-up categories, I guess, at every competition is chicken. It doesn't matter how great you are, how consistent you are, that chicken can throw a rock in the cog, I mean, pretty quick. And I can see that turkey being the same way.
Yeah, the turkey, I cooked six legs because I knew that out of the 6, I'd get me 3 good ones, and then I'd have one to taste myself. And I'm going to be honest with you, I ate one of those legs, and it tasted like turkey to me,
Right.
I didn't taste anything out of the way. I didn't do anything out of the way to it. I just seasoned it and put a little butter in there for a little bit of, butter, not margarine, just a little squirt of butter up in there just to give it a little moisture.
Yep.
And, it tasted like just plain old turkey.
Well, turkey and butter go hand in hand. And a little black pepper with that turkey and butter even makes it better in my book. I like a little black pepper on that turkey. But, turkey and butter.
The only thing I can think that probably Melissa was tasting when she tasted that chicken is that I've had this phenomenon happen before is sometimes I was using shag bark hickory on my turkey and that shag bark if it's a little green it tends to give it it's still smoky flavor,
a little
but
bite.
It does give it gives it a little bite. It's not a cool smoke. It's more of a spicy smoke. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm thinking that she might have picked up on that, and I've had that happen too with chicken before, where I cooked it with that, and it just got a little bit too much of that hickory in there, shag bark, and that shag bark is a spicy smoke. In fact, I'm not using it anymore ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I just use pecan.
Well,
what the hell? Pecan is easy.
Yeah, there you go. But here in Tennessee, hickory is predominantly one of the main woods, and I use an old stick burner that I built, and we use hickory slabs in that bad boy. But most of the time, if I can help it, I try to keep most of it barked.
you know, sometimes I get one in there that, you know, I throw a couple in there that has a little bark on it, but I try to bark most of that stuff. And I want it seasoned if all possible, but we use a lot of hickory around here.
Yeah, there's 10 different kinds of hickory, too, but a lot of folks don't know that. I hope the listeners are catching on to that. I mean, there's 10 different kinds of hickory, and there's only like 4 of them that are really good for smoking with, for cooking with.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of Texas guys use post oak, which, you know, I always thought before I ever really got into barbecue, mesquite was a Texas flavor. That's the, you know, the number one choice. But more Texas guys I talk to, they talk post oak more than mesquite. And then, you know, the pecan and in Georgia, you know, I don't know, a lot of peach wood in Georgia, but we don't do a lot of fruit wood. We do a little apple around here, but peach, you know, we just don't have a whole lot of, I don't have a lot of it around here, so I don't have
it. I love peach. I tell you what, Baxter's Wood, they'll send you out some peach faster and you can believe. I tell you what, that damn peach wood, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think that nothing cooks pork better than peach. And I've cooked with everything on pork. I've used everything on pork, but I'll tell you, it's peach wood, and I like using green peach wood. I like using
right.
big logs in that gravity-fed smoker I use. And
uh-huh.
I put one or two in there, shut the door, set it, go to sleep, wake up in the morning, wrap it, put it back on, wake up, turn it in, and win with it. You know, hell, I finished fourth in KCBS Team of the Year last year using that peach wood.
Yeah,
that peach wood
yeah.
is something. I love peach wood.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, that's the way to do it. I guess the one that you talked me into having to get some peach wood, I guess.
Yeah, you just call Baxter. He'll send you some.
All right, that's what I'll do. Yeah, that's Jeremy talks about Baxter's Woods. He sure does. That's what I'll have to do. I'll write that down right now. But, you know, we just, like I say, we do a lot of stuff around here, Tennessee. I don't travel a lot. You know, I don't go to Georgia. I do some in Kentucky, some in Mississippi. I always like to do the Tupelo event. It's a good event. But we started
like
last year. Yeah, it's a good state.
I like competing in Tennessee. You know, I did well in Tennessee last year. I got a reserve grand there at one. I did like I think 2 contests there last year. I did reserve grand there, and I did something else there. I think I got a first place brisket there in Tennessee last year.
Well, you know, we love to have you. We'd love to have you around here. I founded the Tennessee Barbecue Association. Well, actually, 2 years ago at Tupelo, you know, I started talking it when Daryl interviewed me there. And what the TBA is, Tennessee Barbecue Association, I got on Daryl's show and we started talking a little bit about, you know, he had people from Georgia calling in talking GBA and people from Florida talking FBA. And I thought, why can't we have a TBA? So I basically just started. And a couple of my buddies that cook, they have teams. They come on board, and it's still new, but we're doing some co-sanctioning events, and we had our first shotgun rib shootout this year, which was really a good thing, kind of like a Texas thing. We cooked ribs. You could come in Friday night, but it was a one-day event. It was Saturday. You couldn't put your meat on until a certain time, and you had to pull it all off at a certain time. We did ribs, chicken, and 1-inch thick ribeyes or thicker. And that was really a big success. We had a big time with that, man. And,
yeah, that sounds good.
You know, it was something that broke the ice. Everybody was ready to cook. It was in March. Man, we had winter storm advisories. It was snowing, and we still did it. We had a big time. So, you know, it's www.tbabbq.com. You know, it's a new website.
Let me ask you a quick question. What type of rules do you lean on when you on this? Are you looking at probably going with the 4 meat categories and leaning towards maybe KCBS rules and timelines and whatnot, or you kind of just okay? That's good. That's a good thing. You know, I'll be honest with you. A lot of people complain about you know, the turn-in box, KCBS turn-in box, and they complain about half and a half hour turn-in, and they complain about this, that, and the other. I want to be honest with you. You know, it's the KCBS design. It was created and designed, and it was tooled for world-class barbecue. If you don't know how to garnish a box, and you don't know how to cook a butt, one butt, two butts, or four butts, so that you pull them at different times so you can get a specific cut of meat from each butt, you know, like your money muscle or your tubes or your pulled or your dressed. If you can't do that and you can't do your burn ends and your pulled and your slices on your brisket, and you can't get meet those criterias and you can't cook ribs. I mean, anybody can cook ribs so they fall off the bone. Hell, I can do that in a saucepan in my oven and cook it for, you know, 10 hours, and by golly, you'll be eating soup.
What I'm saying
is, you know, when you pick up that rib, there's a criteria. The criteria is you bite that rib, it's coming off the bone, but it's not falling off the bone. It pulls loose from the bone, bone turns white, you can see the teeth marks in it. If you can't do that, then you don't belong cooking championship barbecue in world-class barbecue, which is KCBS. And I like the challenge. I need that challenge. As a cook, I want to spend that time on my turn-in box because that's the only really score that I can control. And then I have to work on that 5 to 3 minute window on those ribs to cook them to perfection to meet that criteria. I've got my four butts on there. I'm cooking four butts, and each one of those butts I'm cooking at a different internal temperature,
right,
so that when I pull them off, I can get exactly what I want from each one of those butts. My brisket the same way. I'm pulling my point off at one point. You know, I'm doing what I got to do. I'm doing my chicken the way. Listen, I don't think anybody's cooked more practice runs of chicken than I have. I must have cooked 300 practice runs in 1 year.
Man,
right?
That's awesome.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I mean, that's what KCBS is all about, you know. And I keep hearing people complain about KCBS and their rules. Well, you know what? Maybe it wasn't meant for you. Maybe it was meant for somebody else, you know. But KCBS is meant for people who want to. I mean, it's meant for championship barbecue.
That's right. You know, and there is a science to it, but there's also a skill, the experience, and the skill of a pit master. You know, I really believe that. Well, let's hold on a second, and we've got some callers in. Let's get some in queue here, Danny, and welcome them to the show. I'm just going to go right here and welcome. This should be Pirate Pork in the house. Keith Webb, welcome to the show tonight. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, what's going on?
Well, we've got Mr. Danny Kugel, Pit Bulls Up in Smoke, live in the house with us tonight, and we've got some other callers in queue. I'm going to get them called in right now. Just give me a sec, okay?
Alrighty.
Hey, Keith, how's everything going?
Going pretty good,
all right.
I guess.
Your caller 503, that's Lene Oxley.
Hey,
Sugar
guys, what's going on? Hey, Dan. Hi, Danny.
Hey, girl.
Hey,
Lene,
how you doing?
I am doing fabulous. It is an honor to be on the air with you guys, especially with you, Danny. I love you, buddy. I miss you. And I hope you're doing well out there in Island Land over there.
I'm doing just fine. I miss you guys too.
I've been fielding so many calls from since Sunday night. My phone has blown up. My website's blown up. The Facebook's blown up. Everything's blown up. It's been amazing. And I've just given you major props. You're an amazing guy. Your knowledge base for barbecue, being such a great guy on the show. We never met each other. I'd heard about you and this and that, and to finally meet you was just really, really cool. So I'm glad we're able to chat again, and really I just wanted to say hi, and I just wanted to say that I kind of miss you. I wish I was kind of hanging out with you again. Only without all the pressure.
you need to take it easy. You're fixing to make me cry over here.
You don't know. I think I did enough crying. I broke my number one rule, and that's crying in barbecue. But it was an amazing experience on the show, and it's something that I'll take with me forever. and it was just really cool. People don't get that opportunity very often, and it was really cool sharing the stage. It was a lot of fun. I don't know if you remember, but we were freezing our asses off. But at least I was anyway. But you know, I'll tell
I'm surprised. I'm surprised they didn't show me wrapped up in your sleeping bag, because I came over from Hawaii, if you remember correctly. All I had was a shirt. And we had, 15-mile-per-hour winds, 30-mile-per-hour winds sometimes, and it was damn 40 degrees. It was freaking cold out there.
We were all shivering. Let me tell you something real quick, Chris, something that they wouldn't have showed if it wasn't on film. We got those brisket points, and, Corey and I, from the Pacific Northwest, we do a lot of things hot and fast. I mean, it's not the typical barbecuing world, especially when it comes to beef. Pork, I like low and slow. Chicken, low and slow. Ribs, I like to cook hot. And then anything beef, I like to cook hot, especially brisket. We just blast it. And it just works. Our program just works with our program, especially in the laying offset. Lots of good, good hot wood fire going, and we can cook anything in there. So we had been up since about 3 to get the pit hot by 4 to get the meats on. And those brisket points, by the time we were done carving them, weren't very large at all. They weren't going to take very long to cook. And, of course, this is Osage City, Kansas. There is nothing out there. There's a gas station and a Sonic and a grocery store and very little else. And and I will tell you, in the morning comes Danny and Chris, his assistant, his wonderful assistant, pit partner there, and he brings us breakfast in a little container, and I'll tell you what, it was awesome. We were shivering. It was cold, and there was coffee, and there was eggs and potatoes and all kinds of stuff. He thought about us, and that was like, this is cool. This is really cool to see. So I've not forgotten about that, Danny. Thank you.
You're welcome. No, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, guys. I'm just happy to have all y'all on here, and that's what barbecue is all about. We've got a love for each other, and we try to take care of each other. We all want to try. We're in it to win it. But like I say, if we don't, we're happy that y'all do. And that's just how it works. Well, y'all bear with me just a minute. We've got a couple other callers. Let me get you this other caller in and welcome them to the show. Caller 901-229, you're live with us. Who we got?
Chris, Adam with Tucson Support.
Hey, man, what's going on tonight? How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing good. I'm out here grilling, listening to your show, and I can tell you from the lady that talked earlier, when you go to these competitions in these small towns, there's one thing that's certain. You're going to find a Subway and a Sonic, and that's about it.
Hey, man, that's what we have right here in this town.
And there's another thing you're going to find. And that's somebody with a cooler with at least a bottle of Gentleman Jack in there. So if all else fails, if the coffee's cold, at least that'll keep you warm, right?
You got absolutely, man. That's how it works.
Or a little apple pie or something like that. You're exactly right.
Oh, there you go.
That works.
We've got another caller, guys. Let me get this one in, too. Let's welcome them all on and get them in. And we've got another 901 caller, 233. Welcome to the show. Who have we got?
This is Melissa Cookson.
Melissa,
oh, my God.
To
the show.
Hey, girl.
Thank you. Hello.
What's happening? Oh, my gosh. Now I'm going to cry again. You're going to make me cry again.
Man, what a surprise. Well, Melissa, we have got Adam from Tucson Support. We just queued him in right there out of Memphis. We have Mr. Danny Kugel in the house with us tonight. We have Lene with us right here live in the house with us. And then we've got Keith Webb, Pirate Port, right here out of McKenzie, Tennessee with us tonight. We've got a house full.
Sounds good. I just want to tell you guys that competed in Barbecue Pit Masters that it was an honor to judge. And I love it when you guys make – I love it when you make my job hard. That's the fun part.
You know what? Melissa, I tell you what. Everybody wants that turkey leg recipe now. Good Lord, I need to put that out online and just give everybody the recipe. But
write a book, make them buy it.
I love it. Let me. You know what? I don't put people on pedestals very often, and I'll tell you this right now. I've been a huge fan of Melissa's for a long, long time. She's one of my idols, and to cook and have her judge my food was a dream come true. It's really cool. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman. She's been amazing for information and things like that, and just. And giving me a good pat on the back and some great good advice. And this is somebody who's been up on stage in Memphis in May, top of the top for a few times now. And this is cool. But she's done her homework and she's done her she's paid her dues to do that. And I hope one day to be able to do that. We'll see. It was really cool. And of course Myron and then Tuffy and everyone was just amazing. I could not have asked for a better experience. I mean, this is just. I was just over the moon, and everybody's giving me a bunch of crap for crying on camera. But I knew that was probably going to happen. It was a very long, exhausting day, and just to watch you guys judge my food and like my food, it was really, really cool. When you bit Melissa, when you bit into that turkey leg, and it was a bite through skin, and I think there was a little bit. You had a poker face like you wouldn't believe. It was just crazy. We were just trying to pick you apart on that TV screen. and it's nuts. And Colby's there and Cody's there and Danny's there and I'm there and it's our we're just sitting there just looking at the screen trying to just find something to pick up and you guys were just dead on. You didn't. It was crazy. It drove us nuts.
man, I'm telling you.
It's one of those things that you've got a million things running through your brain at one time, and you're trying to pick up the flavors, and you're trying to, And I tell you what, I can speak for Tuffy and Myron both on this as well. We want to do you guys a good service, and we want to do a good job. So we take it very, very seriously. So those poker faces, I think that you're seeing is us just really, breaking everything down and, figuring out, okay, exactly what we taste, what texture, because, like I said, we want to do a good job judging you guys. We want to be as fair as we possibly can. And, I've been in competition barbecue for 16, 17 years now. So, everybody has a little better day than somebody else sometimes. That's on that day. And we want to make sure that we get it right.
Yep.
Man, that's dynamite. I can see that 100%. And, I'm going to have to tell you, Melissa, my daughter is going to be extremely upset with me tonight. You're on the show, and she's not here at the house. She's in Louisville, Kentucky at horse camp. And
I can't believe you have not brought her to see me.
Well, we're going to. I promise you. We are going to. That is on our list before school starts back to come down and have lunch or dinner, supper with you and dine with you and just have a big time because she is ready, I'm telling you. And she's like I say, I'm in trouble now because you're on and she's not here.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. You tell her I said hello. And shout out again to the teams. You guys did a wonderful job. And thanks for making my job hard. Those are the best days when when it's that close and everybody has great food. And congratulations to Lene for taking it home.
I tell you, the honor is mine. You're amazing. Thank you for doing what you do in barbecue and setting a high standard for women like me to get up there and get our asses in gear and learn how to barbecue and hopefully beat your ass one day. We'll see what happens.
Girl, I'm ready to retire and let the young bucks take it over. I'm tired.
No, you can't retire.
Okay, all right. Melissa, if you want to retire, then what you do is you jot all those recipes down, and I'll buy your book, okay?
Hey, it'll be out in April of 2014 called Smoking in the Boys Room.
We want to get an autographed copy, too. That's right.
There you go.
I'm excited.
Well, you can.
Great. All right.
Thanks for having me on, and I'll talk to y'all later.
It's an honor. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Man, that was a treat too, guys. We just—you never know who's going to call into the show. We just have a big time and love everybody that calls in, and we just talk barbecue. That's what we all got in common. And it's crazy. We're all over different parts of the world right now, the states, the world. I mean, we're everywhere, and we're talking barbecue right here, and makes me feel good. I don't know about y'all, but that's a big hell yeah. I mean, I'm excited.
Hell yeah.
All right.
So let's talk. So Danny, what do you think? Let's talk barbecue. Let's talk some meat. Let's talk. Let's talk. When I tuned in, you guys were Danny. You were talking about cooking. The half hour turn ins and your thoughts behind that, your philosophy behind that. And I tend to agree with you 100%. I mean, out here at the Pacific Northwest, the Pacific Northwest Barbecue Association, we have, I think we mimic sort of the way the FBA does things, and we have a 1 hour turn in window on each category, starting at 11, 12, 1, and 2. So, I mean, four meats takes 4 whole hours to turn in. And I'll tell you, when you learn that, it's great, and then you do your first KCBS competition and suddenly everything has a half-hour turn-ins, you're freaking out. But then you start doing the KCBS turn-in schedule. It's kind of backwards from the schedule that we do in terms of the meats that are turned in, but then you get the half-hour turn-in schedule, and it's done and over in 2 hours. It's awesome, and then you go back to the 1 hour, and you're ready. You're sitting. Your meat's done. It's chilling out. It's hanging out. You want to get into a box, and you've got a whole another 45 minutes to wait. It can get a little bit nerve wracking to do it. And I will tell you, I like both, but if I had to choose one, I like the half hour turn ins. I like to get it done, turned in, and then on to the next one. You know.
I like him. I always
turn in. You got all night. You know, you're starting the night before at 9 o'clock at night typically, and if you got your spreadsheet down, which I picked up and learned from Tuffy, me, Tuffy, and Myron, we competed against each other a bunch of times, and we competed the same contest, and they're really great guys. And you know I learned to put together a spreadsheet from him, and right off the bat, from the very first contest I did, I had a spreadsheet. And, you know, you put a spreadsheet in there, and you do this, you do this, you do this, and this is the result. And, I mean, it really isn't a big deal. You know, I cook FBA, too, and what I do is I just push my schedule forward a half an hour. So I'm still doing a half an hour. I've still got a half an hour between all my turn-ins. It's just my schedule is just pushed forward a half an hour.
Yeah, and that's the way to do it. I mean, in my opinion, that's the way to do it. I think, you know, and like I said, Danny, your wealth of knowledge. I mean, you've sort of put into words a lot of the way that I think about barbecue, and it's just, you know, like you said, I mean, you've got overnight to cook this stuff. It's just when you start to mix things up when you're cooking pork, your pork butts, your pork shoulders, you know, lower and slower, and then your meat, and we tend to do that a little more hot and fast. There's some teams out here that they cook the whole program on. It's a couple hours, 3-4 hours for everything, and it's just a fever, and it's crazy. I can't do that. It's too stressful for me. I got to have certain things on the cooker, coasting on what I call on sort of hold pattern. They're just kind of on autopilot, and then I'm focusing on some other stuff to get that ready to go in the pit and getting hot and going quick. But there are teams that are doing very well with that procedure out here, and other teams that are just tend to sort of fall flat, and they're just not finding their place, you know. But I think it's about first and foremost when I see teams is that you got to have a program. You have to come up with a program. And you talked about a spreadsheet. You know, whatever. I mean, I don't care how many contests I've done. I always write my turn-in times, my firing times, my mopping times, my turning times, my wrapping times. I've done this for a little while, not as long as y'all have, but I still do that at every contest because I don't want to leave anything to chance.
You know, is Keith still with us?
Yeah, hey, I'm here.
Keith, what are you cooking on?
Backwoods.
Oh, Backwoods. That's
nice.
A good smoker.
Say what?
I said that's a good smoker.
Oh, I love it. I wish I'd got it 2 years ago instead of just last year. I love it.
It is a good smoker, but telling you, I'm going to tell you what the key is, why he's been hitting this year, is because Chris Chadwick is giving him the damn hickory wood to put in.
I knew that was coming. So I guess you do everything low and slow with that backwards, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
But
well, I like it.
I mean, you don't get much higher than about 225.
I can actually do about three different temperatures on there. If I run 250 in the middle, I can get close to 3 on top, and a little 225 or so on the bottom. So it'll run a little different on them.
Well, that's amazing. That's good. That's good knowledge. That's good information for those people listening right now that got a backwoods that have been trying to figure out how they could do something like that.
Yeah, that chicken stuff, I'll throw it on that top and let it go up there. It's just a little hotter. I'll keep my big meat a little lower.
Tell everybody, Keith Webb. Tell everybody, Keith Webb, who fixed your burn basket too.
We had to put an XL on there, didn't we? Put them rails on there. That made a big difference too. I can load up that extra charcoal in there and get a little bit longer.
I tell you what, guys. I like to kick mine up. I just go in and turn my heat up. I run her 300 on some of my big meats sometimes.
Guys, I have a question for the panel here, and this is something that I've kind of just sort of developed over the last couple of seasons. Do you think, I've cooked on close pits, I've cooked on, I currently have a laying, I cook on a couple of WSM 22 inches, which are just my tried and true little pits that I like to play around with. I've got kettles. I've cooked on stumps. I had a stumps 223 competition model for a while, until it fell on me and then I got rid of it. That was a different story. But I've cooked in a lot of different kinds of pits. And do you guys find that every pit has got its sweet spot in terms of, like, the temperature that it just really likes?
I do.
Oh, yeah. I think so. Yeah, for sure.
I do, too. I think that when you get a pit, no matter what your pit is or who your manufacturer is you need to go and you need to get yourself some thermal devices where you can put them in there, put them in different places on the rack, set your guru on the bottom rack, the middle rack, the top rack, move it forward and backwards and on different racks, check your temperatures, and tune it in and so that you know, okay, well, if I set my guru here, this is what's going to happen here. And if I set my guru down here, this is what's going to happen here. You know, because the gauge is really on these smokers. They're not quite true. I mean, it's reading the temperature 6 inches from the door. So, with a Lang, I started out with a Lang, and I found out by checking my temperatures in that Lang, that was about 15 degrees off. Now, I cook hot and fast. So when I cook hot and fast with a Lang, if I'm cooking 350 to start my big meats, hell, I'm cooking 375, which is a big difference.
That's what I did.
That's
what I did with that backwoods. That's what I did with that backwoods. That last first winter I had it when I was testing, I hooked up below and top and middle and all so I could find that out because I figured it had to be doing that the way that things are set up.
You know, every pit, that's the thing. And whether it's you're right. I mean, every pit's got its own zone. And I've been cooking on my length for a while now, and so I can kind of choke it back and kind of even out that temperature. I don't get that major temperature flux from the forward, from the bow to the stern. Obviously, there's going to be cold spots and not. I mean, the dials that they're using, the gauges that Ben's using, there's all true true thermometers, but they're not. They're still off. I definitely have temperature gauges on my pit, on the deck, where the meat's going to land, and that's going to give me the most ideal. A gauge to figure out what temperature it's at. The other side of the side of the coin here is that when you're trying to explain people are always interested about competition barbecue versus like regular barbecue, regular eating backyard style barbecue. And one of the things I like to explain is that the barbecue that we all like to do for competition, regardless of where you're cooking, is all crafted. It's all minutely crafted barbecue. It's honed barbecue, and so temperature is such a huge important device to be able to craft that barbecue, whether it's 300 or 270. I know my pit really loves between 270 and 300. It really loves it. The way the firebox is designed, it's the volume of the firebox versus the air intake that firebox gets versus the cooking chamber and the stack, the diameter of the stack. It just seems to coast at that temperature. It doesn't like 225, and you won't get a good barbecue off of it. You can cook, but it won't be, in my opinion, a good flavor.
My pit's the same way. My pit is the same way. It likes 275, 300 all the time, and it's just how it runs. That's what it likes.
that's just, you know, all pits have good sweet spots. They have, you know, they have sweet spots. And then, you know, and you, when you learn your pit, it's easy to run. You know, I've got three temps in my one pit. You know, I've got a pot hotter than hottest.
But
that's how all pits are. But, hey, guys, let's hold on for a minute. I just queued some more callers in. I know I queued Mr. Cody Archie from Lewis Barbecue. Cody, you're queued in. You're live in the house. Welcome to the show.
What's going on?
Welcome.
Get Cody in the house. How y'all doing?
I'm telling you. And I've got a couple of my Texas connections in the house with us. Smoking Eggs, Mr. John Rees, he's live with us in the house tonight. And West Texas Pitmaster's very own Lance Moore's in the house. Guys, welcome to the show.
Wow,
also.
That's cool. That's
how
cool.
Y'all doing?
Wonderful.
Nice to meet you
guys.
You're doing great.
We got a house full tonight. We've got barbecue pitmasters everywhere tonight. We have got Mr. Danny Kugel live with us. We've got Lene Oxley live with us. We've got Cody live with us. We've had Miss Melissa Cookston on the phone a little earlier. She was in the house with us tonight. Keith Webb, Pirate Port. We got Adam Tussauds. Oh, man, we got a room full. Welcome. I'm proud all of y'all are here. This is my one-year anniversary show. I'm excited that all of y'all are here talking barbecue, man. That's just what it's all about. And I'm proud to have all of you here. Welcome to the show. I'm going to give a shout-out to all my sponsors real quick. I do want to thank Daryl Mast, Barbecue Superstars, as always. He's made it possible for me to be on air, and he has got a wonderful website, barbecuesuperstars.com. It has everything from A to Z on it. Check it out. It's an awesome site. I do want to thank Mr. Bill Arnold of Blues Hog Barbecue Sauce, for personally being one of my sponsors, Team Hall County Cookers, Chris Chadwick Show, also Tennessee Barbecue Association. I want to thank Big Bill. I appreciate all his love he gives me, and we just wish him the very best. Maverick Industries, grillgrate.com. Meatrake.com. I do want to thank Green Mountain Grills for being one of my big sponsors. Nothing like cooking on one of those little pellet cookers. What do you say about that, Cody? Also, I do want to thank Junior Urias up in Smoke out of Texas for being one of my sponsors. Rub for Grub, Dynamite Rub. You got to check it out, people. The number to call tonight, 347-202-0263. That is the same number every show. Call in, be part of the show. We have got a dynamite cast of awesome crew in the house tonight, pitmasters from all over the country. All right, guys, back to y'all. Let's just turn it over, open the mic, and fire it up.
Hey, Chris, I'd like to interrupt you for just a minute.
All right.
Hey, Cody.
You on? Let's
hear
it. You ready?
What's up, bud?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Danny?
I can't complain, man. It was great doing that show with you. We had lots of fun.
Yeah, it was lots of fun. It was kind of sporadic at times, kind of heated at times.
I can't imagine that. Not with you being involved, Cody.
It's TV, buddy.
You know how I am. I'm a media whore. You know how I am.
I know what you are.
No way, Cody. I don't believe that for one second. It's kind of cool. You got the whole episode. You got all of episode 6 on here. This is awesome.
That's what my woman calls me. She calls me a media whore. Oh,
no,
but Chris,
let me
break your heart real quick, Chris. That let you know, I'm still a pellet head, but I'm getting out of the pellet smokers. I'm still gonna cook on one, but I'm getting a new one built that will not be pellet.
Oh no, no way.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're a dedicated pellet man, and it figures since I finally got a pellet cooker that you're going to change. But you know,
I'm still gonna have one around. I'm still gonna have one around, but I'm switching over.
Well, you know, Don't Stick Burner is my favorite. I do like that. I really enjoy the pellet grill. You know, I've cooked on stuff, and a few others, and I like them all. But you know, I'm a favorite to just throw an old hickory slab in that hot box and make it a roll. You know, like I say, we let the smoke roll. That's what it's about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey Chris, let me interrupt for a minute.
I'm telling you. All right, come on in.
First of all, I just came in to give a bunch of shout-outs and some congratulations to your first-year anniversary on the show. And I know I don't know if I missed him or not, but I know Lulu's coming around, and I know he got a big spotlight. I wanted to give him a shout-out as well. And one of your sponsors, I'm a very frugal person to ever buy things, but these grill grates man, I bought a 3-panel system. I put on my Weber 22 just to grill. I've done vegetables. I've done meat. I've done steak. I've done chicken. I did pizza crust on it. Vegetables. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Well,
sure
not only, I mean, most people that might look at it or go online, look at things, say, okay, it makes pretty grill marks. No. These things are made out of some kind of cast aluminum that makes the heat. It evenly distributes. So there's no hot spots on your grill, whether you're cooking gas, charcoal, whatever. I can put one thing on one end of the grill and the other, even, every time. And not only does this stuff come off pretty, everything's cooked dead even every time. I was very impressed with it. I've got to give kudos to that product, and if nobody, you know, anybody that's on the barbecue circuit that turns into anything grilled, amazing, totally amazing. If you haven't done it, you need to get some. That they're fantastic.
I've heard nothing but really great things about the crypto grill grates. So I've got to get me a set of those. I don't, you know, I love cooking directly over charcoal a lot when I'm just going to cook some steaks or some fish or whatever. And I don't have a gas cooker at home at all. I got rid of it many years ago. But I've got to get a set of those. So I'd love to try those out. Because I've heard nothing but really amazingly good things about them. So
they're phenomenal. I've been cooking since while we've been on the phone, and I just grilled, you know, some buns. I grilled some squash and some hamburgers. I've got pictures of steak. I'm going to put them on Facebook. We have a website. It's Two Sauce to Pork. In about 30, 45 minutes, I've got pictures of a butterfly filet my wife likes well done, and a porterhouse steak. These things, I mean, you can't eat them online, but you can see them. They're very beautiful, but they were phenomenally cooked. If you're not using these, you know, now that they're available in competition, doing grilled products, you'll be falling by the wayside. This is a great thing. They're very, very, very good. I'm very impressed, and I'm not the kind of person that pushes product on, oh, you got to try this, but they deliver. They really do.
Is this Adam?
It is.
Hi, it's Kid Cody. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, boss?
Not a whole lot. You talking about delivery. That'd be 322 Wilkinson Street, East Prairie, Missouri, 63801. I am a little bit hungry myself.
I will
say
that the
shut us off some of that stuff, Adam.
I hear you. I'll say I bought the 3 panels. They have these interlocking panels, and I will say if you use them, it's highly advisable that, you know, after you get them a little bit seasoned, you need to scrape the top just to get the grit off of it, of course. But and use a little bit of cooking oil just so when your product's going down on it, it doesn't stick. I bought the 3-panel system with this, you know, funky little spatula that comes with it, so you can pick up meat, you know, without scraping underneath it, so you don't tear things, delicate things like fish, that kind of thing. It was kind of neat, but I think I paid about $70 for it, and a 3-panel system covered a Weber 22.5-inch, you know, grill, you know, perfect.
they have these specialty ones where it'll cover the whole grill if you want to buy this round thing for a large
Komodo,
amount of money.
They have the Komodo, they have the kettle grill, they have their standard rectangular cook grill. They have different cuts for different style grills. I mean, it's a complete line.
Exactly.
It is a dynamite line. Yeah, it's a dynamite line.
Yeah, but just their standard three panels covered, I would say 75-80% of my Weber kettle that I cook on, you know, which is mainly the space that I cook on anyways. So I bought that. I think it was, with shipping and everything, it was around $70, and is probably the best $70 I've spent in a while. It was very, very excellent product. I have to give you kudos for them as being a sponsor and the product that they give out.
Well, I'm glad. You know, like I say, I like to support everything barbecue. I am a supporter 100% of barbecue products. But, you know, most of these people that are designing these barbecue products, they're using them and they're making them. They want them to be a good quality product because they want to share what they have in their knowledge and their product with everybody, and they want a better. You know, it's not like a lot of this made in China stuff that they're just trying to sell you a gimmick and, you know, it's not going to work but one or two times, or, you know, it's something to buy and throw away. You know, they're really proud of their product, and that's what it's about. I've got a new pump sprayer. I'll tell you about this real quick. A new injector that a guy sent me out of Kansas City. His name's Dan Udall, and it's barbecuekansascity.com. It's a four-head needle injector, and it's really a nice product. I mean, it'll shoot, it'll pump up a butt or a brisket. I mean, it's dynamite, and it's a good product, too. You know, I'm just proud to support everybody barbecue regardless. You know, anybody's got a product that I can help get out, and I'm going to do it. You know, that's just what it's about. That's how I feel. I truly feel that way. So we just want to keep it. Yes.
I'm going to have to jump off here in a little while, but I wanted to thank Lene and Cody and Keith West and everybody else for coming on, and appreciate all the kind words, and good luck to you, and happy anniversary, you know, 100 shows, and, you know, you're going to have another 100 shows, and I got to get ready to go serve up these butts over here at this little thing we're having going on, and it was a pleasure being on your show.
Hey, Danny, it's a pleasure for you. It's a pleasure for me to have you on, man. I really enjoyed it. And I want you to know that you're always welcome anytime. The invite is open. I mean, you've got a place to be. You just call in. You're welcome. You're right here. You're part of us. And anytime you want to call in, just come on. Anytime you need to call me, just whatever. We're right here. And I truly mean that. And I really appreciate you calling in and being part of the show tonight, brother. I really do.
And Danny, I wanted to add, Chris, real quick, and Danny, it's an honor to cook with you on the show and to meet you, and obviously to the Lulu's guys as well, to Colby and Cody. It was just an honor to be a part of that whole thing. It was really cool. Definitely a life-changing experience, and thank you so much for being a part of that, and thank you so much for all your hospitality. You're a first-class guy, and I love you, and I love the fact that I've got a barbecue brother out there, another one too, so that's cool.
The honor was all mine, Lene, and I look forward to doing it again with you real soon.
Let's do it, man. Let's throw it down again. I'd love that.
Okay, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, Danny, appreciate it, brother.
All right, Danny.
Have a good day, man. All right. Bye.
Man, that's awesome. You know, that's just what it's all about, guys and ladies. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm thankful to have all y'all on the show tonight. You're all part of the show. You know, you call in. You're welcome to call in every time. I mean, the invite is always open. That's what this show's about. It's about you and the barbecue, and it's just exciting to have y'all on with us tonight. And wherever you want to go, where we're leading now, let's go. Let's just keep it on and keep talking barbecue. All right.
Yeah, I had a question about the gentleman from Texas. They still on?
Yeah, go ahead.
We've got, yeah.
Cool. So, last year I found myself, I don't get to Texas very often, and when I have a friend of mine lives in San Antonio and another friend lives in Austin, so when I get to Texas, it's largely in that area. And I'll tell you what, I eat my body weight in barbecue from one end of that area to the other. I have yet to go to Franklin's barbecue because I just, you know, whatever. There's so much good barbecue there. I don't think you need to really wait in line a long time for barbecue. At some point, I'll make it over there. But do you guys, I mean, I don't know where you are in relation to the Central Texas barbecue belt, but do the styles really change that much region to region in Texas, or is it largely very homogenized in Texas?
Oh, good, honey. Texas should be four or five different states. I'm telling you, we talk about this. Lance, are you still on? Because I promise you, we all talk about this.
Yeah, Lance, you get in, brother.
Lance, because I promise you, Lance is from Plainview, which is just right north of where I'm at, way up in the Panhandle. And I'm in Lubbock, okay, which is just in the southern part of the Panhandle. I get down to San Antonio quite a bit. You have to understand, I am 7.5 hours from San Antonio if I drive the speed limit and I obey all the laws. So, we joke around and we talked about this one time. A lot of times when I call into a Chadwick show, I'm driving. And because in my day job, I travel a lot. So there was about a month ago, I drove 1,400
yeah.
miles in Texas and never left the state.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big state. So, yes, there's lots of different styles of barbecue in the state
of
Texas.
Of course, of course. I guess that was kind of a silly question. I suppose the question
no,
was
No, no, no,
just...
it's not a silly question because everybody throws us all in one huge category. And let me tell you this, and I know that Lance is a great cook. Lance is one of my toughest competitors, and I say that with all the respect in the world. Number one, because he's on the line. Number two is because it's the absolute truth. West Texas Pitmasters and Smoking X, we nearly park next to each other almost at every competition. And we root each other on, but we want to strangle each other almost at the same time. It's a love-hate. We love each other, but we want to walk last at the same time. I have won first in brisket 1 week and gone 60 miles down the road and not walked at all with the same brisket. That's how much the dynamic has changed.
Yeah.
In the same state. I mean, so Texas is a funny place to cook. And Atlanta, can you back me up at all on any of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, I've cooked as far south as Austin. I've cooked as far north as Amarillo. And it is. I mean, it changes. I mean, you know, everybody says there's, you know, Central Texas-style barbecue. There's South Texas-style barbecue, East Texas-style barbecue, West Texas-style barbecue. But even in those regions, you know, in 100 miles, even those styles change. And, you know, some people, you know, it may be sweet, you know, kind of like, you know, looking back at the Pitmaster show with, you know, Lockhart's on it with Cervantes and them. You know, you have the sugar cookie version. Then you have, you know, the other guys, I mean, that it just falls apart. You know, they're cutting in big chunks. And then, you know, you have Cervantes, which is in the San Marcos area, which is real close to San Antonio. It is. I mean, it's just completely different with brisket, chicken, and you know, and I make a big joke about chicken because up in our part of the world, which, like I said, I'm in the Panhandle, you know, we do a lot of smoking chicken. And I say when we go down south about 20, you know, the whole thing changes. And something I hadn't understood, and I'll go down south about 20 to cook, and I'm always mystified because chicken don't hit. And, you know, it happened to me this last weekend. I mean, I went south by 20, 40 miles. chicken's one of my strongest categories. And voila, I hit fourth in ribs, final tables of chicken, this is IPCA. You know, I'm sitting on the sideline again. I'm like, okay, here we are. And I still have not figured out their chicken down that way. It changes. And, you know, for whatever reason, you can draw a straight line to I-20, I mean, which, you know, in places is probably, what, John, 100 miles away from us. And you can go as far, you know, east as, you know, it's 300 miles away from us. And you drop down south of that, and everything changes again.
Well, the whole thing is, too, and I know that Lance, this has happened to Lance, and I'm really surprised, and I think this is, correct me if I'm wrong, Lance, this was chicken, where you did really good one weekend, you did the same chicken the next weekend south of I-20, they said it was too smoky.
Yeah, I had it in Kansas City. Of course, you know, we do a lot of IBCA out here, and, you know, like I said, when I first started out, chicken was chicken and ribs were my number one categories. And I went down and I took the Sam's Club Challenge with SNS Pit Crew and a whole bunch of Pit Maker and a bunch of them guys. And I got a comment card back that I had too much smoke in my chicken.
Really?
And I was like, how does that happen? And so, you know, it's been kind of one of them things that, in a way, it's been kind of a joke after that. You know, I ask people, is there smoke, too much smoke in that? And they're like, no, we probably taste smoke. I was like, I don't understand it.
That happens. I mean, that, you know, that happens out here. We do a lot of comment cards out in our association out here, and you know, people ask what Northwest Barbecue is all about and what the flavor profiles are. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of people out here that are using the same stuff as, you know, I tasted in Chicago and then I tasted in Kansas City. Texas aside and Florida aside, there's such a homogenized, you know, paint-brushed kind of a flavor profile that a lot of people are using because a lot of people are taking a lot of classes and the classes are teaching them and things are getting diluted and that sort of thing is spread around. But, you know, out here, I mean, I'll turn in you know, it was six chicken size in a box with six different judges and one judge is the same pan of chicken in the same cooker, same temperature, same everything, same brine or injection, same rub, everything's the same. One person will say it's too smoky, one person will say it's not enough smoke, one person will say it's too hot, one person will say it's not hot enough, and, you know, and it just, it's unnerving to, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
yeah,
that, you know what, though, but that's competitive barbecue for you, you know, I mean, if
sure.
You can't.
Well,
yeah,
and that's, I mean, you just brought up a really good deal, and I'm glad you're on here because, you know, I cooked in the regionals this year in Las Vegas, Nevada, in the Sam's Club Challenge. And,
yeah.
You know, we had a lot of guys out of the Pacific Northwest.
Absolutely.
And,
you know, of mine.
And, matter of fact, they pretty much took it.
You know, my friend Michael Eckert from Tombstone, who won that event, Michael's a great guy. I've cooked with him. I know his program. He's got a great, solid program. He's got great, good flavors. He knows his pit. He's got a homemade offset pit that he cooks on. Guy gets absolutely stinking drunk when he cooks. If he doesn't get drunk, he doesn't cook well. But
they were right across from me, and they were great guys.
Yeah.
And we talked quite a bit. And, you know, they came out and they kicked ass. And, you know, I think there were four of us from Texas, and counting Trigg, Johnny Trigg was there. And, you know, I think Johnny was 16th overall. And his ribs went like 16th in a contest like that. And I said, and I was like, well, you know, this is not going to be good. And, matter of fact, I think Trigg took like a sixth or seventh in chicken. And Ross took like a sixth or seventh chicken. They were, and that was the only thing that they walked in that contest. And I was shocked to see that was it. Now we had like a fourth and butt there, and you know, which really shocked me even more on that end that we were, you know, in the pork butt part of it. But you know, moving the chains and all that guys. I mean, they came in and they whipped their really fast. And I'm sitting there going, okay, did we burn them all up? Because they did not like Texas for some reason. Out of the four teams, we were all in the bottom.
the Sam's Club, the local Sam's Club event that happened in Washington State, I was actually signed up to go to that event with a friend of mine. We were going to co-team it together. I had to bug out of that event because that was the same weekend that we filmed our episode of Pitmaster. So it was kind of bittersweet. And so I missed that opportunity and then found out that my friend Jesse Henry from Moving the Chains and his wife and his family, you know, they won that event that day and then propelled them to the finals with them and Michael and all the rest of the crew that came out there, the top six. And they just dominated. It was just pretty crazy. I've cooked Vegas before. Vegas is a funny place.
Okay, now where do most of them judges come out? I mean, and I kind of guess because, you know, you guys, you know, were the last ones to cook it in that regional before we went to the regional. And so I kind of wondered if a lot of them judges weren't from up in, you know, y'all's neck of the woods per se. And, you know, so I guess that's my question is, I mean, what is that flavor profile that you guys kind of have out there? Is it a sweet? Is it a spicy? Or is it the sweet heat, you know, like we are, you know, in ways in Texas? Or, you know.
Everybody loves sweet, spicy. Everybody loves sweet and spicy.
They didn't like it there.
You know what? I'll tell you this. It's. I think it's changed. It's evolved. Now, as far as the judge breakdown, you know, and once I got the audition for Pitmasters and I was scheduled for that weekend, the focus on that particular event was off. I was focused on Pitmasters at that point, and I was obsessed with trying to figure out who I was going up against at Pitmasters and what I might be cooking and all the rest of that. It was just it overtook everything. I basically checked out of anything that was related to anything else. So I didn't study who was on the judging list and where the judges were coming from. We have a lot of KCBS judges here, and of course PNWBA judges, and they're both recognized in the same capacity in terms of criteria and credibility with the way that they judge. Every judge is going to have their likes and dislikes. I'm also a certified judge, and so it's but as far as the flavor profiles, you know, honestly, you know, you can't go wrong with sweet. When you start to add some pepper to it and start to add a little underlying heat, that's when, at least in this region, in my opinion only, it starts to work against you.
I believe that 100%, and that's what, and we've talked about that before. Even I think with Chadwick, that, you know, that was my fear, was that Texas kind of, in a way, and I mean, we had too much spice in there, and you know that took from us because in my pork butts I don't have a lot of spice in it, and it did well.
Well, I'll tell you what too is that. Now, I don't know how many of those judges translated to going and following at Vegas. So from Rent in Washington, which is where that Sam's Club event was, to Vegas, I'm not sure. My guess would be that the organizer for that event would have a mix of judges from, I would imagine they'd have a lot of local judges that were there in Vegas. Of course, they've got the retiree judges that kind of, they have the traveling road show. They kind of follow these guys around. And they judge. They don't have a day job. They're retired. They have all the time in the world. They just have, you know, set up their RV, and they just kind of bumble down the road, and they follow along. But I would imagine that they would have some Arizona judges. They would have some Vegas judges, some California judges, and some judges from the Pacific Northwest. You know, I don't know a lot of judges by name. I don't.
Sure.
I used to when I started in barbecue, and I used to sort of go in every. I looked at every single angle of a contest, but as far as Sam's Club, no, I couldn't say. What I can say is that, like, in January, I went down with a friend of mine, and I was cooking with him at Havasu, Lake Havasu in Arizona. That was the first time I was cooking down there, and I'd always wanted to go to that event simply because it was January, and I wanted to get the hell out of the Pacific Northwest, and I wanted some sunshine and some heat instead of cold and gray. But also, more importantly, as a barbecue competitor, I wanted to try to see if I could taste some different flavor profiles. What are people doing there? And I was fortunate enough, and not every team will let you taste their food, but, you know, you make friends with a team, and suddenly you get a slice of brisket or a piece of chicken or a piece of pork. And I tasted a couple of team stuff, and I will tell you, it's so different than what we do here. The brisket, you turn in brisket in the Northwest like I tasted in Arizona, and teams that were walking in brisket, and you'll get DQ. I mean, you'll be DAL. It was just so heavily ajoued and almost to the point where it was pot roasty. And the stuff that I tasted, and some of the pork was so sweet that it was amazing. I will tell you, a couple of years ago, I was at the Smoke on the Water event in Vegas. It was the first time that Ronnie Case had done that, a big event. It was $125,000, huge event, 80 plus odd, 100 teams that was out there. And Sin City Smoker, Steve Overlay, took first in ribs. I tasted those ribs. I had somebody go and collect a rib for me, and because I was busy doing my turn-in. And I tasted his rib, and that was the most candy, sticky, sweet, glazed, epoxied rib I had ever tasted in my life. And I was like, and as soon as I tasted, I was like, and I love Steve, and he's an awesome cook. Sin City Smokers, those guys, he's an amazing, amazing chef, a good cook. I love the man. I love his food. But I was like, as soon as I tasted, I was like, oh, forget it. I don't have a chance over here if that's winning. It turned out that won, and no wonder I placed where I did, because I just don't get stuff that sweet. It was balanced. I don't want to say it didn't taste like pork or smoke, or it was a very, very good rib that I had. And of course I had it one that didn't make the box, but it was very much representative of what he turned in, and it was just so different. It was good, but it was so different. Who knows what goes on in Vegas? I'm not sure. I'd like to cook Vegas again to see where my stuff now would hit. But, you know, I've had to make adjustments because what I like in terms of my brisket, one of my favorite things to do with brisket is salt and pepper and pecan. And that's it. And that's all I do with my brisket. And I put it in a paper bag and I do that kind of thing with it. And it comes out perfect every time. It is awesome. It's a deep, dark bark. The way I like it, it's just super duper tender and juicy. No injections, no nothing, and it's great. But if I turn that in the box, it won't work. And so I've had to change that and adapt. So I've gone a lot more sweeter on my turn-in than I really like on my personal barbecue. I don't like a lot of sweet barbecue. I like a more tangy, tomato-y sauce. I like
meaty
smoked
meaty flavor. Yeah,
yeah.
I agree with that 100%.
I cook a lot of cod. I mean, you don't find people cooking cod down here up here at all. And I love it. So I've had to adjust that. There's the competition bark versus my own personal bark. And my personal bark was winning for a while, and then nothing. And then my pork and my brisket stopped hitting. It was just weird. It just overnight it stopped hitting. And I was trying to figure out why, so I did some research, and everyone was doing hot and fast and wrapping, and it was basically hardly any bark on stuff, and it was basically steak, and people were turning that in and winning. It was just a bizarre thing, but anyway, I'm getting off topic, but I know that, but as far as the flavor profiles, I mean, you can't fail sweet, but I think at the end of the day, if you don't have a balanced flavor, you're not gonna nail it. I mean, there's so many good cooks out there, and you know, sometimes it's a matter of just fractions of a point that separate, you know, the top 10. I mean, we've all been there.
No, that's exactly it. No, and I've been there. I mean, I've been there with, you know, like Mo Kaysen this year. I mean, you know, we had a dead tie in pork butt. And, I mean, just what you say, I mean, get up in a coin toss. And you know, someone's got to lose in that deal. And it's tough. But, you know, that is, I mean, everything is kind of sweet. You know, people say Texas. You know, they all talk about, you know, not sauce and things, and you know, we're not sweet and stuff, but, you know, I probably shouldn't say that for John around, but John probably knows it already. I mean, I run a lot of sweet stuff. I run more of a Kansas City South profile, but I have a little bit of heat at the back end of it. And, you know, that's what works.
I really think overall, you know, when you ever watch any of these competitors, you go to any of these competitions, they're all favoring a little more sweet
with a little bite at the end. You know, when I went to one of my first KCBS, I cooked a barbecue. I cooked, you know, real barbecue, meaty flavors, bold, strong, but it wasn't sweet. And, you know, I was at the end of the pack. And when I started putting some sweetness to it and making it hotter, you know, it just brought it all up. And
that's the first word out of your mouth, fire.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. Yeah, you got to have some fire. And, you know, a lot of Texas cooks got some heat in it. They might not think it's hot, but a lot of Texas cooks have more heat, more so. You know, and KCBS ain't big in Texas, really, you know.
No, and that's what I'm getting at, is that we kind of go down that road that we hit that sweet, but, you know, we're putting that heat, and, I mean, you know, it's like Texas pepper jelly and stuff like that. We put some more of that in there. We run a little bit of cayenne, and we get into those situations that, you know, they like a little bit of spice, but they're not used to quite the kind of spice that we use. And it's not hot to us. I mean, it's like my daughter. My daughter's 9 years old. And, you know, it's not that spicy to her. But you take it off, and, you know, Vegas to me was a perfect example. I mean, she kind of nailed it when she said the heat, because that's what I was afraid of, was that when it was all said and done, you looked at it, there was four teams from Texas, and all four of us teams didn't do well, and the one common factor that I could come up with in that situation is that we had more heat in our barbecue. And
you know, I'll interject and say this. I mean, as a certified barbecue judge, you know, and I haven't judged in a while, but and I don't know how many of y'all are judges, but you know, when I'm judging a piece of barbecue, regardless of what kind of barbecue it is, when I'm judging a piece of barbecue, I'm looking at it from a lot of different angles. I'm looking at it when I get down to biting and tasting and tenderness and that sort of thing, not about appearance. That
sure.
That would have been judged already. But I'm looking at above and beyond, if it's hot, I want to know why it's hot. What is it? What is the barbecue cook trying to get across? And I'm trying to get in his or her head. What they're trying to prove. Does the meat support that heat? Is it just something that they're trying out? Does it work? Is it balanced? Is it you know what I mean? And that's what I'm trying to figure out. So I'm not going to automatically ding somebody down if it's too hot. I mean, if it's too hot and that's all I taste, then maybe they got to streamline their flavors a little bit. But if it works as an entire piece of barbecue. From start to finish on my taste buds and with the kind of meat that it is and it works, then I'm going to judge it accordingly. It's going to be a good solid piece of barbecue. And so
and that's right. I mean, and I think nowadays, I mean, with everything that's going on and with all the technology and all of the with the internet and with everything we have out there, then there's so many people putting their products and stuff out there that, you know, there's lots of great products. You know, there's lots of things going on. So, you know, and I'm a fairly new competitor too. But, you know, to me, you know, 5 years ago, you know, one rub and a little bit of process on a piece of meat may have done real well. But now we're into such complex.
Yep.
Flavors and stuff like that. There's so many profiles in there that we want to hit. There's tones and notes and you know, you just don't want that one-dimensional meat. You know, you want it to kind of sit there.
Different profiles, stages,
And hit those other notes, and it's like, oh, wow, you know, where'd that come from? You know, that's great. And, you know, so we're so much more into it. It's evolved so much more than what, you know, what typically barbecue was, I guess, in the old days. I mean, you know, just kind of what you said, salt and pepper and garlic and, you know, simple things, simple spices.
And that's why I said before what I did about when Danny was on, about the crafted nature of what we do. It's so heavily fine-tuned that there are starting injections, there's finishing injections, there's starting rub, finishing rub. There's layers of different kinds of sauces, different glazes, different this and that, different layers of smoke, different layers of, of temperature control. There's all kinds of different, and just like you said, there's so many different kinds of variables involved. Now, people aren't using, well, okay, maybe I'll back up. People have raised the bar with the products that they're using. They're using designer pork shoulders and designer pork butts, designer ribs, obviously brisket. I mean, the Wagyu, the American Wagyu industry, and SRF Farms, you know, and those guys, you know, have just that popularity has just exploded, and to the point where, you know, and I think all of us have stories where we've turned in commodity stuff and done well and walked and got a nice check out of it with a $30 brisket, and but it's gotten to the point where you almost have to, and people will argue with me, and that's okay, that where you almost have to raise the bar with the quality of the products, because that's going to trigger the end result, because you know the team next to you that wants that same check and that same Grand Champion trophy using that product. I'm not sponsored by these guys, but I've used with my business, I buy wholesale, and I use Stew Branch briskets. I've had a lot of success with those guys. It's a wonderful product. I'd love sponsorship from those guys. It'd be awesome.
Well, hang on a minute. Let me cue somebody in right quick. He is a Stew Branch sponsors him. And he's been on hold for a few minutes. And let's get Roy Powell in from Assault from the Sky Barbecue Team out of Colorado. He's been patiently holding, and let's welcome Roy to the show. Roy, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
It's great. How are you doing this evening?
Not too bad. Yeah, I've been waiting patiently, listening to you all talk.
I'm telling you, welcome. This is our one-year anniversary show. This is my one-year anniversary show on Barbecue Superstars. And we have had a dynamite show and had a lot of wonderful people on here tonight. And, man, I'm just ecstatic with all the talent we have in the house tonight. We have just got some barbecue superstars. That's all I can say. You know what? Everybody's on the same page. We're having a great time. We're talking Q. Matter of fact, we're talking Stew Branch right now. I've not ever had a piece of beef like that yet. Maybe one of these days I'll be fortunate enough to be able to get some of that fine meat. But, you know, it's tell us how good it is. You know, we've got Lene Oxley right here with us from Pitmasters last Sunday night. We've had Danny Kugel with us. We've got Cody in the house tonight. We've got John Reed Smoking Eggs. We've got Lance Moore, West Texas Pitmasters. Oh, we've got Keith Webb, Pirate Pork. I hope I ain't forgetting anybody. I'm trying to scroll up and down. We've got a house full. We just got it going on. So just welcome to the show, Roy.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Y'all talk about that Stew Branch a minute. I'm ready to listen to it a little bit.
Well, we've been fortunate. I know I heard her say, you know, that she uses Stew Branch. We've been fortunate enough to be sponsored by Stew Branch for the past 2 years.
Wow.
She sponsors.
Cool.
Yes, we actually, she sponsors us. We're a military competition team. I'm in the military stationed here at Fort Carson. So she basically, you know, started sponsoring me, you know, being, you know, the military side of it and stuff. So we've had a good relationship with them, you know, the last couple of years. I mean, I can't beat, you know, cooking, you know, for briskets from Stew. So I know you've, you know, had experience with them. Yeah, they do cook different than a regular brisket, but in the long run, I like them a lot better.
And, you know, you can, and what I was saying before was that, you know, people are raising the bar with using a little bit higher-end products, higher-quality products. And you know, at the end of the day, you still have to know time and temperature and technique. You still have to know your pit. You still have to know your temperatures. You still have to know time. And because you can take an $80 brisket, $100 brisket, and you can ruin it just as quick as you can and ruin a commodity $30, you know, a select brisket. I don't care what you do with it. I don't care what kind of injections you put with it and all the rest of that stuff. And it's just that, you know, it's a little bit higher dollar that's out the door. You know, I mean, I cook a lot of times. I'll cook just with regular commodity pork. because I want the fattiest pork I can find. You know, because I want
there
that
you
flavor.
Go.
And with briskets, I mean, like I said, I mean, I buy these things wholesale, and they still cost me $5 a pound. But with these guys, and I've just had a lot of luck with Stroob. They're great. There's an outfit out here called the Painted Hills, and it's a local brand out here. And they don't do a heavily marbled. They'll do choice or higher grade cattle. And there's certainly nothing like what Stroob did, because they're taking it way higher with their marbling. But they have a phenomenal program with these free range cattle and that sort of thing. But in any event, Stroob is awesome. They have a really good consistent product, and I wish they were more available out here. But maybe one day they'll be more available out here in the Northwest.
Yeah. Do you inject your briskets?
Me personally, yes, sir. I do. I'm also sponsored by Dave, my good friend Dave Bosca from Butcher Barbecue. He's been a sponsor of mine for many years. A tremendous support for me, and I've used his products continuously, enormously successful with his products. The dilution ratios from his mixes change with the piece of meat that I'm presented with. I don't always use the same recipe all the time with who I'm cooking for, how I'm going to cook that day, the kind of smoke I'm using, et cetera. So it's very fine-tuned in that respect. But, yeah, I do inject. I've also done without injection. But with competition barbecue out here, you've got to hit on moisture notes. You've got to hit on flavor in a certain aspect. And so with the injections, I inject everything. I'll inject the entire core meat, everything.
I usually don't inject the briskets that I use, but I'm kind of learning that I'm going to have to maybe start, because with me cooking here in Colorado, it's a little bit higher in elevation. So I think, you know, that might kind of play a factor in my, you know, cooking, you know, of my briskets and stuff. So I might try it to see. There's a lot of people have a few problems here. A few weeks ago, and they were cooking over 9,000 feet, and they were having problems with oxygen to the fire, cooking longer times, and it's a beast here, so I'm still learning.
But you know what? That's the beauty about barbecue, though. You never stop learning. There's always a new challenge, and personally, on a personal level, that's what's kept me barbecuing for so long. I love it. I love the challenge in front of me, whether I'm cooking in North Carolina, I'm cooking out here, or I'm cooking in Arizona, or Las Vegas, different humidity levels, different elevations, you know, it's different kinds of wood. I mean, they're burning at different times. I love it. I love the challenge of being faced with a little bit of an obstacle and trying to overcome that obstacle and have a really good, you know, product in the end. And that's what I love. Like you said earlier, sometimes you hit on it and sometimes you don't. You know, a couple seasons ago, I had a back-to-back contest. I did Marathon Cooks. I did this for – I don't know why I put myself through this. I just do. But I'll do a cook on a Friday, Saturday, and then during awards on that Saturday, I'm packing up, getting everything ready, and I'm headed to another contest to do a Saturday night, Sunday turn-in cook.
Shit.
I'll go and drive to a truck
there,
stop.
Girl.
It is. I'll drive to a truck stop, take a shower, sleep in my truck, and I'll head over there. And I swear to God, it's amazing. One time I will turn in the same of everything on that Saturday cook, and I'll hit, I'll get eighth place in something out of maybe, you know, 15, 20 teams. It's just a small little contest. And then the next day do another contest with the same exact thing, and I'll win with that product out of like 60-odd teams. And it's happened a couple times. And it just blows my mind. I mean, we're talking just like you were saying about earlier about the distance. You know, travel down the street a quarter mile and it changes. This was a contest where I think I traveled maybe 25 miles north, and it was a completely different region. It was unbelievable, and I was like, you got to be effing joking me. You know, I mean, who the hell are these judges that are one day they don't like my food and the next day they love my food, you know?
That's barbecue. So, that right there, you said it, Lanae.
Yes,
that,
sir.
But
yeah.
Let me just cue in real quick. You said it right there. That's how it is. That is every cook we go do. And they're all different judges, different taste buds, and it doesn't matter if we put the same product out every time. We're going to have different results. And that's just the beauty of barbecue, I would say, or one of the demons of barbecue.
And I'll tell you, you know, back in the day, I used to kick myself. I mean, I'm my worst critic. I'm my hardest judge.
Oh, yeah.
And,
me too.
And we all, I mean, we all are. I mean, we, you know. And I used to kick myself. I'd hate myself. I'd just be swearing myself up and down. Why did I do this? I'm such an idiot, rookie, you know, this and that. And I've kind of mellowed up a little bit about it. I don't pat myself very much on the back, but I'll tell you, since 2006, in every competition, for the exception of one that I did last year, I've gotten a call or two. Every contest. And there was one contest that I did last year, and I did not get a call. They called out 10 places in every category. I finished 9th overall, and I never got a call. It was weird. It was just a weird day for a lot of people. And I would walk away from that. Normally, I'd be kicking myself, but it was really kind of – I walked away, and I was like, you know what? I'm okay with that. The weekend earlier than that, I took a GC. And so I was fine. I mean, I got my kicks out of that, and that carried me over. And I just walked away, and I was kind of laughing. I'm like, well, I guess this was my weekend not to hear Sugar's Barbecue be called. And even people were looking at me, going, what happened? What happened? They were expecting a call, and that's just what it is. But so you know, you take your lickings. I mean, and I think that makes you a better cook if you use that information and really kind of. You know,
improve yourself.
You know,
you got it.
Yeah, you try to improve yourself, but it's also luck
of
the draw. I mean, every single one of these gentlemen have gone through that. I mean, everybody in barbecue's gone through that. You know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a learning cook. Every cook we do, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many times we've cooked. It doesn't matter how many times we've won. It doesn't matter how many times we've lost. And the way I look at it, hey, we're out there cooking it. If we're last place, at least we were there cooking it, doing it. So we're still winners because we're out there doing what we enjoy doing. You know?
Well,
and,
I'm proud.
Yeah,
I've never cooked IBCA before, and I would love to come down there and cook IBCA. I have a friend of mine.
Come on.
Like I said, look, yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Come on. You can come cook on my team any day.
Oh,
I'm ready to come cook IBCA too. I'm ready to see what it's all about.
I think you're gonna be here less than a month, I believe.
That's right.
That
I'm
right,
ready,
Edward?
Son. I'm ready to come to Texas and have a good time. I'm excited about that. I never get to go anywhere.
Yep.
This country
yes,
boy can't survive in Texas, I guarantee you.
Well, you're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine. And we're gonna take care of it.
I'm still working on trying to compete in an IBCA contest here in a few weeks. So, Lance, I'm still working it.
Yes, sir. I'm going. I'm going. We'll see what happens,
yep.
But it ain't going to be many changes. But we're going to go up there.
Hey, guys, can I just request that you guys try to find me on Facebook and friend me on Facebook so we got a connection going. For some reason, for the second time in a month, Facebook is suspended me from trying to friend people. I don't know. I don't think Facebook likes me much anymore. I don't know why I haven't done anything, but other than trying to log on. But it's not letting me friend people right now. So if you guys can look up either Sugar's Championship Barbecue or Lanae Beth Oxley, you can just find me and friend me. That way we have some connections. So
done.
And, we could trade tips.
See, we already friends, Sugar. But I'm gonna go Lanae now, and I'm gonna get you right now.
You're awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Well, I've been talking to my truck here. I love my – I tell you what, I'm going to drop my truck. I have a Toyota Tundra. It's one of my favorite things in the world. And I've been talking on this truck, and I've been looking on my phone since we've been talking and getting in surfing Facebook. And you know what? I'll tell you what. I love – people poo-poo Facebook all the time, and I love Facebook because I have so many connections with barbecue. It's just unbelievable. And when I travel around and I actually meet people and shake hands, and we've been friends on Facebook for a while, we've been chatting, and I finally get to meet them, it's just the coolest thing ever.
It is. It's awesome. I have to, you know, I'm going to interrupt again. It's an awesome feeling. You know,
it's you just can't beat it. You know, I mean, we talk about that all the time. You know, we're on all corners of the state right here on in the nation. We're on all corners of the nation, and I mean, next time if we're ever in one spot in general together, we're gonna all huddle up and just have a big old time. Hell yeah, and we're gonna let the
that's
smoke
awesome,
roll
yeah.
and have a big time.
Are you gonna be at the wall this year?
I'm gonna try. I'd like to try. In fact, Lang is actually building me a pit, and I may go out there and go pick it up. And he's going to be out. Ben's going to be out there, and a bunch of other people from Pitmasters going to be out there. So I think so. I did qualify to go out there, but I the weird part is I qualified. The GC I got this year was in Canada, so that gets me a draw for the Jack in my state, but that doesn't, I don't think, qualify me to go to the American Royal, because it wasn't, my GC was not on American soil, even though I'm an American winning in Canada. It's just kind of a weird thing. So I'm going to see if maybe they can get me in. If they can't, that's okay. But I'm still thinking about going down there anyway and just visiting some people, and it'll just give me an excuse for a road trip. It'd be kind of fun, and I can pick up my new pit from Lang.
Well, we're going to be there, so you come by and see me.
You know what? I may make a weekend of it. We'll see what happens with that. But I'd love to go down the world. It's been a while since I've been down there, and it's always a big party, obviously. Where do you guys have a normal space that you set up?
Yeah, we're poor boys, so we're just a normal kind of space. We'll be cooking the Invitational and in the open.
If I've got the gas money, I'm gonna drive down there. I mean,
we're gonna
go. I'm about to cook.
As long as it's not on the dark side, we can actually get some work done. You know what I mean?
That's it. I mean, we'll get it done. But yeah, it's kind of a budget. I mean, this year we've been kind of, like I said, you know, going to Vegas, and you know, that's a 1,000-mile haul for us one way. So, You know, I think
I couldn't imagine.
It's about 800 miles to the Royal Park. So, I mean, it's one of those years, and, you know, we're cooking probably about 20 contests this year. And so, you know, we're going to do it and try it, but we're on a budget.
It's funny when you go to contests and you see these people and they've got the, who cares about the cooker part? But they've got these gigantic RV rigs, and they're pulling these things, and you're like, my God, it's like a hotel. I say to myself, I'm like, that thing's got more square footage than my house does. And it's amazing. And I'm a firm believer. You never should be too comfortable in barbecue. I'm a firm believer in that. I think the more comfortable you are, the worse you cook. I don't know. Maybe
there you go.
Well, I don't have nothing to worry about.
I sleep in a Dodge pickup, and I got an old 1959 propane tank that I converted to an offset, so I'm in pretty good shape.
Man, I tell you what, I don't have to worry about getting comfortable in barbecue, man. I'm sitting, I'm cramped in a chair or trying to sleep in the front seat.
There you go.
I don't have anything to worry about. Shoot.
One of my first experiences in traveling around barbecue was in 2008. I got a chance to go to the American Royal cooking with a team who had qualified to go there, and I was cooking the he's like, you can go and cook the vegetable and side categories, and I was tickled, because for the first time I went out there, and for the first time I'm seeing the Johnny Trigg, and I'm seeing Mike Davis, and I'm seeing Chris Lilly, and I'm seeing all these big guys that I've always read about, and I'm meeting these guys and shaking their hands.
Yeah.
And I'm in awe, you know, this and that, and I cooked this stupid little vegetable that I turned in, and come to find out, you know, here I am trying to decipher, okay, I'm going to do vegetables, and I'm going to make this carved-out pumpkin, and I'm going to put a vegetable stew in there because it's all vegetables, and then the person that wins vegetable won on tomato pie, and I was like, oh, screw this. So, you know, and it was so cool to be a part of that, and to look back at that time, and to just say, wow, this is really cool. I mean, this was such a great experience, and where everyone is now and what people are doing. It's just really, it's really cool. It's just,
well,
it's
maybe I should ask, you know, what would it cost to get
to get you to come cook with West Texas Pitmasters then. And Alex cooked meat.
Well, you know what? I tell you what, we can work something out. I need an excuse to get my fat ass down there. I'll tell you that. But you know, the thing is, I'd love to get down there. Here's the deal with me right now is I'm pretty much stacked with caterings for the next like 2 months, which is good. It's a good problem to have, and
yep.
It's amazing. I say this, and I said this on my Facebook page. I'm truly, and you know, and take this as you want to take this, but I count my blessings every day. I'm truly blessed to have the people around my life that I do, and the support system that I've got. I've got some amazingly good sponsors. They're not money sponsors. They're product sponsors, and I use their products.
Yeah.
I use their products, and they're amazing people. I'm doing all these caterings. I do definitely do some charity work and some fundraisers. I definitely give back to the community. I'm a big believer in that. And I'm hoping that by sometime later on, my schedule's going to free up a little bit and I can travel a little bit more. Like I said, the Pitmasters took a large chunk out of my life, but both mentally, physically, but in any event, it was an experience that I'll never trade for anything in the world. But I would love to come down to Texas. Any chance I can get to Texas and eat and have a great time and meet some people and cook, that would be the cat's meow. It'd be great because that's how I learn barbecue and that's how I get better at barbecue, by expanding
the
knowledge.
Well, it's August. It's August what? August 9th and 10th is when we're all going to meet down in Texas. You better come on down August 9th and 10th.
I'll look
that's
at my schedule.
That's where we're
going
to have a party in Texas. We're going to have
we'll connect offline and we'll see what we can do. I mean, I don't mind paying my way. I don't care about that. Where there's a will, there's a way. I'll pay my way. I got no problem with that. But maybe I'll get I want to do some. Like I said, I'm going to try to do some classes around the nation and we'll see what happens with that. Maybe I can earn a little pocket change. I can get my butt down there.
Hey, before we go any further, that is dynamite. You know, I have enjoyed having everybody on here tonight. You know, we've already run out 2 hours, and we're still recording, and we're still on the air. And it has been a dynamite show. Hey, this is what a way to have an anniversary show. This is my one-year anniversary show with Barbecue
Happy
Superstars. And
thank
you. I'm proud of that. I'm excited about that. And, we just get together and have a great time.
You know who hasn't called in yet?
Who?
Daryl. Where the hell's Daryl?
Daryl, you missed him. He called in the first of the show. You'll have to go back and listen to it. He had me a big happy anniversary skit made up. You got it. Yeah, it's awesome. You got to go back and listen to it in archives and listen to it. It's really cool.
I definitely will, but I noticed that he said that he had a surprise for you, and I was sort of waiting for that surprise, but I guess I was too late. I was on another show. I was talking with Lori Freeze on her show, and she's out of Florida, and she's a wonderful woman, and she's, you know, she's got a lot of cool stuff. I was supposed to be on Greg Murphy's show last night with Barbecue Central, and I kind of blew that goose. So I'm gonna be on there next Tuesday. So.
He kind of gave you a hard time about that, too, on there.
What's that?
I said, Greg kind of gave you a hard time about that, too.
You know what, now? He should, because I was confused. I thought everybody wanted – I thought I was going to be on everyone's show tonight, and I'm like, how on earth am I going to do this? Because I've got to do the math. Because
let me introduce somebody real quick. He's been on hold for a few minutes, and he is one of the – He is one of the Let's Talk Smokes Q crew. He is a main instigator in it. And he's from Florida. He cooks on a stump smoker. His team is Tortoise Q. Mr. Blake Moody, welcome to the show, brother. Glad you called in for the anniversary show.
Chris Chadwick, 1 year in, man.
1 year in.
Congratulations. Yeah,
thank
congratulations,
you,
brother.
I'm glad you called in. I seen you in the chat room, and we sure are glad you called in. And just to be a part, we've had a huge show. We've had callers. This board has been lit up, going like crazy. I've been trying to keep it refreshed, queuing callers in, and trying to do a chat room. I've been multitasking tonight.
Hell yeah, man. We've been letting the smoke roll. That's what I'm talking about, baby. But
it's rolling over here.
I'm telling you, we smoke in all the United States up tonight, even Hawaii. So we've had a big show and a great time. And we've had some special guests on here tonight. We've had the whole crew of Barbecue Pitmasters from last Sunday night. You know, I want to thank Lene again for calling in and being such a great part of Barbecue. We've had Cody. I don't know if Cody's still on. I can't keep this board's just flashing up and down. We've had Cody Archie from Lulu's Barbecue on. We had Danny Kugel from Pit Bulls Up in Smoke was on, you know. And then we had special guest judge Melissa Cookston. She was online with us for a little while. That's just awesome. And we've had all the Q crew. We've had Lance Moore, West Texas Pitmasters. We've had John Reed, Smoking X. X Nation in the house with us tonight. Roy Powell, Assault from the Sky. Keith Webb, Pirate Pork. We've had Adam from Adam Memphis, Two Sauce the Pork, Big MBN team. Man, I've just got to go back and figure out everybody we have had. And then we've had all you guys in the chat room. And it's been a great show. I just appreciate and love every one of you. I appreciate all of you. I really do.
Tim Seals in the chat.
Yeah, Tim Seals, that's right. And Stacy in there, Swamp Donkey Barbecue out of Texas. Got Stacy in the chat room. We've had several guys in the chat too. You know, and many. And just we've got a great. Crew of guys to call in. I mean, we've got some superb cooks to call in to the show. And I just love it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris. It's been a pleasure and an honor, sir. I gotta scoot before I get run over by this train. But
anyway, you go, girl. Run.
I gotta close the windows of my truck here. Okay, there you go. So big old freight train coming through. But you know, what a pleasure. Thank you so much. I'm going to scoot on out of here so I can eat some dinner before it gets cold and I get yelled at. But, guys, thank you so much for your hospitality, and let's all stay connected. Chris, I will be definitely calling in again. And I will tell you this. We made it to the semifinals. I don't know where it's going to air, when it's going to air, but stay tuned. And if you think the first show was pretty cool, there's a lot more to show you, and it's gonna get hot and heavy here pretty soon. So I'm looking forward to getting feedback on that.
All right, we can't wait. And you're welcome, girl. Just call in anytime.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a wonderful evening. We'll all chat soon again. Okay.
Sounds great. All right, appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, great job on the show, Leanne.
Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it. We'll see y'all later.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Bye.
Guys, what do y'all think? We've had a great show tonight. I mean, it's been a wonderful, it's just made a kick-ass killer show. You know, it's a hell yeah barbecue. That's what it is, boys. That's one of the new.
Don't quit now.
I know
hell
what
yeah.
I'm telling you.
What can you say, you know? It's just
hell yeah.
I'm just thankful.
Hell yeah. I'm really thankful that we have a show that people actually enjoy calling in and spending time and talking barbecue. You know, we want to preach it all good. We don't want any bad because we have enough of that in everyday life. And this show is dedicated, you know, for everybody that loves barbecue. We love to talk some good stuff. And it just, you know, we just keep on keeping on. That's all I know to do.
I'm going to have to get you on my show now. I'm going to have to get you on my show now.
Yeah, I'm shoot. And guys, what do y'all think? I've got to toot my own horn a little bit. This is the second time Blog Talk Radio has featured one of my shows, okay? And it's featured on the main food page of Blog Talk Radio, the main food category page.
That's awesome.
Have you seen the numbers in that show, Lance?
Yeah, it's 12, 9, I mean, right at 13 is what I saw today.
Yeah,
crazy. I'm just amazed. I can't believe it.
I looked at that and I thought, man, you know, because, you know, and, you know, just what you said, I mean, because, you know, I had one that hit like 1,900 and something, and I thought,
I know, and that's dynamite. Yeah, that's great.
And, I mean, I think the number one show ever hit, if I'm right about this, Chadwick, the number one show that I've seen when I went back and looked at all the archives was like 3,000 or something. And so, I mean, that's four times what any show has ever done since 2010 in Barbecue Superstars that I've seen. Is that correct?
As far as I know, we've had a couple shows.
I mean, and that's going to be hell to beat.
Well, you know, the way I look at it, it's for all of us because it's Barbecue Superstars.
Oh, you're right.
You know, really,
and there's nobody that deserved it more than you.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. But it's Barbecue Superstars. I'm Barbecue Superstars. You Barbecue Superstars. John's Barbecue Superstars. Blake Moody's Barbecue Superstars. Keith Webb's Barbecue Superstars. Roy Powell's Barbecue. We all Barbecue Superstars.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, you know,
it is.
And, I mean, I can remember I called in, like, in October of last year. And, yeah, but I didn't realize that it. You just started before that. I mean, just a few months. I never realized that. I thought, I mean, to be honest with you, I thought you'd been on for a couple of years. So, yeah. I mean, you've done a hell of a damn job. Hell of a job.
I appreciate that. I'm just thankful that we can do it and people enjoy calling in and listening. And so we just keep on keeping on, you know. I just don't know what else to do.
I love doing it. I know
I
you do, and I'm ready for you to come to Texas.
Man, I'm so excited. You just don't have a clue.
I think Friday night, I think I may cook a tri-tip. Have you ever had tri-tip?
Never have. I've never had tri-tip.
Well, you know, that's kind of a West Coast thing. I think we're gonna do it Texas style. And when you come out, I think that's what we'll do.
Man, that's the way to do it. We gonna go Texas. Do I need to give me some cowboy boots or can I wear my tennis shoes?
You can wear your tennis shoes. Hell, I'm wearing what they call chuckers. You know what chuckers are?
No, don't have a clue.
Yeah, I do.
I got.
I think them are old person shoes, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm pretty damn old. And if I'm not, I really feel old. But you know, we do drink the Silver Bullet.
That's all right. That's my flavor.
You know, and then we have Shiner Bock. I mean, have you ever had Shiner?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. I mean, there's some Texas flavor there. You know, we'll map a little bit of that, but we're going to have a damn good time.
I can't wait. I really can't.
I can't either. I can't wait for you guys to get down here. And
I'm going to tell you, I've never flown before.
Huh?
So it's going to be a big adventure, son. It's going to be like Larry the Cable Guy goes.
I'm telling you, we're going to be getting her done. We're going to get her done, boys. Well, let me give you an edumacation then. Edumacation, you need a turkey and 7 on your way out here.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
We'll pick you up. We'll take care of you.
I know you will. Well, I'm ready.
And then,
you know,
Brad says last year, you know, on Friday night, they had two contests on Friday night. And one of them was a chicken breast we had to turn in. And another part of it was we did margaritas.
Right.
That was a Friday night contest. And so I would imagine that Breast Fest being as they are, we'll be doing margaritas on Friday night.
Well,
and,
that'll be all right, too.
The Ninja will be rolling on the West Texas Pitmasters cook trailer, and we'll be serving up margaritas.
Wonderful, wonderful.
It's a style.
That's the ninja.
Ninja to work. That's right. That's what the ninja to work.
Texas
the ninja. There you go.
I'm either going to be saying, get her done or let the smoke roll, boy.
There you go, man. There you go. We're gonna have a damn good time. So
I can't wait.
Why don't you work? I can't wait to see all you guys, meet all you guys. I mean, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, we're going to have
like
fun.
Roy, I kind of hope Roy kind of gets to I don't know. I'm not looking forward to probably getting my butt whooped, but I'm kind of looking forward to meeting him in northern New Mexico and seeing what happens.
Well, I'll tell you what. Roy is something else. Now, the first time I met Roy was in Benton, Kentucky, and we were Roy, do you remember that? We were cracking open. We were busting open a shoulder, and we had injected that shoulder. The first time I'd injected a shoulder, and it just had a crappy taste to it, and I was just madder than a hornet's nest. I mean, I was. Yeah. And Roy, I was trying my best to be nice, and I was just burning up inside, just mad, just ready to throw that shoulder, just throw it away. But I want you to know, we didn't do well at the comp. But once we got back to Tennessee and we got in the back of that and we broke back in that shoulder, that was one of the best shoulders we had ever had. But it had to rest and cool off before it was good. But that was the first time I'd met Roy.
I'm going to tell you what I'm doing on the anniversary of Chadwick's show here. Some people have asked me a lot of times, and I have never done it. I'm doing it tonight because we're starting work at about 6:30 in the morning, and the guys all wanted breakfast burritos. And we do a thing called Chili Colorado. And of course, Roy will probably know what that is since he lives in Colorado now. And so I'm going to chop up a brisket, and I'm going to put a red sauce on it, which is a New Mexico, Colorado, Western kind of thing. And something that people have asked me about, and I've never done it, I've had a lot of asks about it, is I put West Texas Pitmaster's rib rub on a brisket.
Right.
And it is cooking right now on the pit.
Man,
on your
good.
Anniversary.
That sounds delicious.
You know, it's sizzling like hell. I don't know what's going to happen here.
You know, that's how great things come about is just doing something off the wall. So, you know, you might hit on something big right there, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, I'm going to call it the Chadwick Method.
There you go. There it is.
World famous, the Chadwick Method has been created tonight, if it works.
Well,
now, it may be shit come tomorrow, but I'm going to say that. I'll hold the Chadwick back if it turns to shit. I'll say,
it's
a Mormon.
I'm telling you, guys, man, we have a good time. We really do. We have a good time, and I'm thankful for each and every one of you. I really am. You've got to, but one thing you've got to do, and this is not to bump up my archive listens, but listen, you got to go back to the first of the show, and you got to listen to that thing Daryl put together and play it on the first of the show. I'm going to have to record that somehow and play that some. But y'all got to listen to it. It's pretty cute. And I like it. But we've had a great show. I mean, you know, everybody didn't get to talk as much as they wanted to, but we all got to talk some. I mean, we had a good time. This studio board was lit up like a Christmas tree. I mean, it was full. And then I actually had the chat room going on, too, and actually tried to chat and typed in that chat room a little bit, so we keep working and making it happen. So y'all want any final words before we cut out of here tonight? I want to give all of y'all a shout-out. I personally want to thank all of you for calling in. I really do, And, you know, I try to support each and every one of you. I try to put your product out there anytime I can. I support your teams. I wish I could do more. I just like all of you. I appreciate all of you. And I appreciate everybody listening to the show. You know, I didn't even
call out the show number but one time tonight. You know, and that's not me usually, but we've just had so many things going on, it's just been jam-packed full. These 2 hours have flown by, I mean, crazy. Actually, it's going to be a 2.5-hour show. And I just appreciate every one of you. I really do. Thank you all for calling in. I appreciate your consideration and your caring enough to call in.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, I'm just going to go down the list right here. Lance, looks like you're first. Give everybody a shout out, sir, and then Roy, and then Keith, and then Blake. You'll finish it up for us. How about that?
Well, hey guys, this is Lance Moore, West Texas Pitmasters. We're live on the, we're in the archives now of the Chadwick Show, and I've enjoyed the hell out of it, and I want to thank Chadwick for allowing us. I mean, the first show we've ever been on, and big part of the reason why we have our own show, and we couldn't have done it without you, Chris. And congratulations on your accomplishment. And I look forward to seeing you in about a month.
And,
month. Yes, sir. So, and I enjoyed it. And I mean, I can't thank you enough for all of the things you've done for me and got me involved in barbecue service cars like we have. So. Congratulations.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you. And we'll talk soon.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good night. All right. Mr. Roy Powell, go and give everybody a shout out, sir.
All right. Hey, this is Roy Powell from Assault from the Sky Barbecue. Congratulations on your 1 year anniversary show. You know, they always say the first year is always the hardest, right? Well, you made that milestone, so keep up the good work, Chris. It's just, you know, I remember, you know, talking to you even while I was, you know, at school last year. And, you know, I try to get on here whenever I can, but the military kind of ties me down sometimes. But, again, you know, congratulations, and have fun down there in Texas, and hopefully – next couple weekends, I can get down to New Mexico and meet Lance myself and maybe school him on a little bit of barbecue.
Hey, there you go, man. There you go.
All right. There it is. That's the way to do it, Roy.
Yep, right, bro. Yep.
Good job. All right. Appreciate you, Roy. All right, Keith,
yep.
You up, man.
Pirate Pork Barbecue. You can look us up on Facebook or on the Keith Web. And, of course, I want to give a shout-out to Junior Reyes and Rough Your Grub and for Matt's Pub up around Paris Landing. And thanks a lot, Chris, for supporting our team. And congrats.
You're welcome. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. All right, Blake, are you ready to roll, sir?
Yeah, Bubba. It is no coincidence that Chris Chadwick is celebrating his one-year anniversary tonight. And you're hitting those big numbers and having all these great guests on. And, of course, as I start to say this, like three jets fly up overhead, so I'm sorry if y'all can't hear me. But
you in here.
Congrats, Chris. Yeah, congrats. And it's no coincidence, brother. You got a great show, and keep kicking the shit out of them tires and lighting them fires, man. It's sounded great, brother.
Got it,
so, congrats.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, guys. Love all of you. Appreciate you calling in. So next Wednesday night, don't forget, tomorrow night, you got Smoking X in the house, X Nation. Friday night, Barbecue Superstars. Friday night, live. You got Sunday night with Lance Moore, West Texas Pitmaster. Don't miss that show. Followed by Jim Barbecue Monday night, Whiskey Bent Tuesday night. And you got Chris Chadwick coming back to you. Wednesday night live right here, BarbecueSuperstars.com, BlogTalkRadio.com. This is Chris Chadwick, Team Hall County Cookers. Want to thank all my barbecue stars, superstars for calling in. I do want to thank all my sponsors. Real quick, we're going to be BarbecueSuperstars.com, Blues Hog Barbecue Sauce, Green Mountain Grills, Junior Reyes Up in Smoke, Rub for Grub, Mr. Brad Barrett, MeatRake.com, Maverick.com, Mr. Brad Barrett, Grill Great, MeatRake.com, and Maverick.com, MaverickHousewares.com, all my great sponsors. I really want to thank all of them for helping me continue on. This is Chris Chadwick. We have been kicking the tires tonight. We've lit the fire, and we've been letting that smoke roll, and this is a Hell Yeah Barbecue Show right here. Chris Chadwick,
Hell Yeah.
Let's Talk Smoke Show. Hell yeah. Y'all all have a good night. We're going to finish the show out with a little Hog Wild, my theme song. We're going Hog Wild tonight. Well, guys, we had a good show. I sure appreciate everybody calling in and doing it. Y'all have a good night.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
All right.
You too.
No Hog Wild tonight. God, we tried to make it happen, but we'll get it again next time. Love y'all and have a good night. We out of here.
All right. Night, y'all.
Be mad.